This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Wake up, Atlanta. This is The Morning Shift. I'm Big Papa Squid, Bo Morgan. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson,
hey, yo,
it is Draft Eve.
Stands for Pennix.
It is Draft Eve, Michael.
What up, man? Good morning to you.
I hope it stands for Playmaker, because that's what we're going to get tomorrow night when we pick 15th, 8th, 22nd. Who the hell knows? But we are going to be making a pick most likely in the first round tomorrow night, unless, you know, something crazy happens, like Dylan was talking about the hometown take and Jerry Jones wants to take the 15th overall pick for Micah Parsons and we do a sign and trade. I'll do that.
Yeah, hey, count me on board for that. You want to talk about proven edge rushers? I'll sign up for that.
Hey, there is a lot of substantive trades might be made. You know, they're working on it.
There is a lot of irony to the fact that Parsons, like, the word for Parsons is he might not work out until he gets a new contract. It's like, and then we got news coming out of Flowery Branch is quite the opposite, man. But nonetheless, what's going on, man? How's before we get started, how's Melrose doing? Everybody getting sleep? Everybody pork chop doing good?
It was a pretty good night because put her down right before the Braves bullpen imploded. We'll talk about that at 6:20. And she got a bottle and got her routine and woke me up about 11. I'll say about 11:30.
There you go.
And did a quick kind of the pit crew stuff, right? We changed the diaper, got her back on the track with a bottle, and took her a few minutes to get to sleep. But once she got to sleep, she made it till 4, basically.
Yeah, that's now you're cooking with gas, man. Now we're on the right track.
So me and Sprinkles, we're on baby duty at night right now, and so we're sleeping and monitoring. We'll wake up with her, and then that way, like, my plan, and I know that we've talked about this, and I'm still wanting, you know, if there's feedback, but my plan is, since I have to wake up early, you know, let Amy sleep all the way through, and then she takes the day, and I don't mind have that way. It allows me to have a nap during the day.
There you go.
And then I can, you know, get to bed early and wake up for the 30 minutes of the time with her, which I wake up normally anyways during the night. So
it's a shame that she can't crawl yet, which is obviously a long time off, but I can see us putting pictures of all of the, you know, college logos of all the edge rushers that could be possibly involved in this first round and asking Pork Chop to crawl to, you know, the Marshall logo or Texas A&M or possibly the Georgia G, and just saying, all right, well, you know, that's Michael Williams, or that's Pork Chop's already calling it. Michael Williams, 15 to the Falcons.
Yeah, and that's next year, I think, right? Next year.
So down for that.
Well, you know one thing that
– might be walking at this point next year.
You know what the best part is that we're going to get to an article written about something that happened in Flowery Branch yesterday that Pork Chop could have figured out, but apparently Mike Florio couldn't until it happened. But, look, the news out of Flowery Branch yesterday is not that the Falcons have done – some big trade. And by the way,
ding,
the Falcons will be talking to the media, if I'm not mistaken, today. I think the press conference starts right as we go off the air at 9 o'clock. They are going to talk, because I got some certain member of the media was hitting me up complaining about the timing because it was moved, and I was like, "Yeah, man, we're on their clock, not ours."
Yeah, but they seem to control these kind of things.
Well, they don't. You know, I think who controls it is where the misunderstanding is, and a lot of people think PR does all this, and they don't. It comes from other people. But anyways, they are talking today at 9 o'clock. Terry Fontenot will have his pre-draft press conference. But no news on that. Instead, they had voluntary workouts yesterday.
Yeah, man.
Now, there's involuntary, and there's voluntary. Involuntary means you don't have a choice, Michael. Voluntary means you do. And Kirk Cousins was there, which was something that many reported would not happen.
Right. Or that it was bad for the football team and the locker room wouldn't accept him.
Well, those people have never been in a locker room.
Right. That's the funny part about it, man. Now, I saw this yesterday, and I was like, this is not shocking to me. I know that there was talk about his agent saying that he wouldn't be showing up to the voluntary stuff. I've always – and again, I know that I've gone back and forth with a lot of Falcons fans. Some people agree with this. Some people don't. I've always blamed a lot of this stuff that goes on with him on his agent. I think a lot of this news that leaks and everything else that comes out has a lot to do with his agent. Now, you know, there's people that – Ping Pong Gate down there where he trades shirts. I don't know. That has nothing to do with his agent. And the stuff where he cost the Falcons his fifth-round pick coming up in the next couple of days, that's not his agent. So people go back and forth with me. But I think there's a lot of agent talk, a lot of leveraging. I think there's a lot of talk out of the Falcons camp. I think there's a lot of talk out of other places in terms of what they're doing with their quarterbacks, you know, that might be interested in Kirk Cousins, and a lot of smoke screens. But in the end, to your point, he shows up for voluntary workouts. And I think it's a good thing. I think the fact that Kirk Cousins shows up for voluntary workouts, in my opinion, and you can weigh in on this, it puts a lot of cards back in the Atlanta Falcons' hands in terms of trades and other teams being interested. If you want him, come off of the money.
I heard someone say, and I don't necessarily agree with this either, that they're playing this game of chess and that, you know, they're trying to both camps are kind of playing this back and forth. I just think that they're both doing exactly what they said they're going to do. And again, Kirk Cousins never said anything. His camp never said he wouldn't be in camp. His camp or and any workout. All his camp and his agent. And it's a good point by you. Every time Kirk Cousins, air quote, you know, I'm doing the little fingers. Yeah. You can see me. Nobody else can, but I'm doing the fingers. Kirk Cousins says he's not going to do something or this is what. It's his agent saying it.
Right.
And the only thing we've heard Kirk Cousins say is, I was injured during the season, which to me was a script from his agent and said, hey, you can't admit that you were not hurt because you have to say you were because people are going to think you can't play the position anymore.
Yeah.
And your value goes down. If you're hurt, your value goes up. And so a guy who was never hurt suddenly has been hurt twice in 2 years. So I think it's a really good point. It's to me, in Mike Florio puts out, hey guys, maybe the Falcons' best thing is to wait and see how this plays out with the draft and see how this plays out with camp. And it's like, really?
It's so funny because you look at that on April 22nd. You and I have talked to her blue in the face, dude, all the way back to December whenever he was benched about what the future would be for him. And we on this show. Not this station, on this show, you and I have continued to say, look, Kirk Cousins, not a bad dude. It's just a bad situation. All right? And I know a lot of Falcons fans feel differently about that, and I'm sure I will hear about it on social media, and that's fine. All right? But the bottom line is, it's always been in their best interest to wait because he was never going to be a locker room problem. We've said that since the beginning. I have told you guys, that locker room does not care. That locker room does not care. As long as he shows up and goes about his business and is not just a-hole to everybody's face, they're fine, dude. It's not – the locker room and the front office for the Atlanta Falcons are not the same. You can't say, well, he can't show up in Flyer Branch. That's not how this works. In a lot of different ways, that locker room is the enemy of the front office. They probably feel the vibes of Kirk Cousins, or at least did last year. Now, I think a lot of those guys, Bo, have kind of turned the page onto Michael Penix, and they, you know, they've got Penix's back, and you know, you've seen the interviews with Drake London or whoever else is like, man, we knew he was going to be that guy, you know, from the first time he threw the ball, whatever else. But this whole thing where he wouldn't be accepted or wouldn't show up, it's just a farce, man. Like, he was always going to be there, in my opinion. He was going to do right by his teammates. And, you know, here we are. And I think, like I said a minute ago, I think a lot of stock, a lot of the cards being held in this situation went back into the hands of Terry Fontenot in terms of other NFL teams by him simply showing up and saying, all right, I'm here to work.
All right, I got a couple of things on this. First off, you can sit here and say, this show said it. I'm not going to lie to do that. You said it. First off, you were the first person to say to me,
I'm taking a bow right now,
I think Kirk Cousins can be on this roster next year. And it was right after he was benched. And you and I talked, and we debated, and I wasn't on board at first. And then we kept talking, and all this was off the air. Yeah. And I finally said, you know what? You've brought me around. Secondly, I remember sitting here, and I said, hey, I keep hearing, and this is what bothers me, and I'm not going to go on this. I'm going to go on a mini rant, but not a full tangent, about people who just say things with no way to back them up because – that's what they've heard someone say. But I've heard people on this radio station and in this market and in the city and nationally say, he can't be in that locker room. But there's never a why. Well, why? Well, he just can't. It just can't.
It just won't work. They won't accept him.
It just won't happen. But there's nothing. There's no story. There's no evidence. It just can't be. Just can't be. It's like someone telling you aliens exist. You're like, no, it just can't be. I don't think they are. And my only thing is because I don't believe it.
Yeah.
That's it. And there's no – I have nothing to back up. I don't.
Because it's never happened. Oh,
they
okay.
don't, that aliens don't exist. But I'm just going to tell you I don't because that's my belief. That's the same thing as some of these people, even on our station, think about Kirk Cousins can't be in this locker room next year or even in at Flowery Branch at training camp. You know why? Because he's not going to be at there talking at training camp. You know why? Because they only make certain people available each day after training camp. That's why it can happen, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the why when they can't. But you said we don't care. We don't care in the locker room. What we care about, what we really care about, is it's us versus the front office. It's about getting ours, and we all know that that we're there to get ours. Now, if you do something that flies in the face of a teammate, like what's our guy that used to play here? Quit in the middle of a game for San Francisco. that's a little bit different.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
That's different.
You saw those players speak out.
Yes.
And you saw those players in San Fran speak out.
So
no, I'm completely with you.
Look, real quick.
I didn't have aliens on the bingo card at 6:13 a.m., but here
well,
we are.
Because that's the only thing when I hear people say, it just can't happen. Well, why? Well, it just won't work.
Right.
Why? Well, it's just not good. I have no basis. No one's told me. It's just I'm saying it can't happen, and I'm telling you that I have not been to Area 51, and the closest thing I know about aliens is Independence Day or the movie Aliens, and therefore I think it can't happen. Or Predator, you know, Predator. But it can't happen because there were actors in all those. But look, we're sitting here. We got a minute left in the segment, as Dylan tells me in our ear. We're going to get into this and later, and I know in the 7 o'clock hour for sure, and maybe a little bit at 6:40. Josh Kendall put an article out about a plethora of players by alphabetical order in his article that can happen in rounds 1 and 2 for this team in the first few rounds. And there's some interesting names. I think there's some names that won't be there. The name that keeps coming back to me right now is Mike Green.
Yeah. And I do think that right now there is very much a what does your gut tell you feeling around Atlanta Falcons fans. Like, what is your gut telling you? Because it does seem like, as far as edge rushers goes, it's Abdul Carter, and then it's like a mismatch of everybody else where you can look at it and go, well, there's an upside to this guy, but there could be a downside. He's got all the characteristics, but he's got no output. He's a great player, but he couldn't stay healthy. There are off-field concerns. There are locker room concerns. Whatever. There's like ups and downs to all of them, man. So,
and look, for real, to that point though, it's so deep in talent that it's almost like a great quarterback class. There's going to be about three that work out like to the max, and then there's going to be a few that are just good, and then they'll be bust.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. We got to go to break. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us here on the morning shift. We're going to talk about the Braves coming up next. I got a good new name for the Braves podcast. It's going to be called Missed Opportunities, an evening with the Atlanta Braves. Stick with us here on the morning shift. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Video 92.9 The Game, 6:23 a.m. Hopefully you guys are staying out of the rain out there. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Dylon behind the glass. Thanks for hanging out with us. It is it's draft eve. It's a little bit, I mean, look, it's not a holiday yet, but it feels like that way. Like the anticipation is building.
No, it is. It's a holiday. This is like Christmas Eve for NFL fans. This is for me. I woke up this morning, Mike.
Yeah.
And once I got up and got past the feeding and everything, I had butterflies. I was excited to do the show. And it's like Christmas morning. Like, hey, I know that tonight I'm going to have I'll have dinner or whatever. I know iRacing this tonight, but then I'll have, you know, I'll have to have like a, I'll sip on like maybe a little glass of whiskey or something
there
to get myself to sleep.
There you go.
Because I won't be able to sleep tonight, and I'm going to have to. Real quick, can I address a tweet from our guy Blake who tweets us all the time? And he goes, look, if any, and this is about the cousin stuff, and I want to address this because I addressed it with him on Twitter. He goes, if anyone's playing chess in this, it's not the Falcons. He goes over how bad the Cousins deal is, how bad he played, and now he's the highest paid back in the NFL, and they can't get anything for him. Can I say something real quick, and I want you to jump in if you agree or disagree. Either way, first off, I hate the chess thing. There's no chess being played. The Falcons are doing what's best for them. But secondly, the thing is there's so much information, yet so many people who claim to be intelligent about the game are wrong about this situation to me, is that the Falcons, the best thing for them always has been to wait, even without Kirk Cousins saying it, to after the draft. To me, financially, it was the best decision. Secondly, you know what? He might be the backup. It doesn't matter how expensive the contract is. The reality is there might be someone, that something will happen every year, either during the season or during training camp, that means they can unload him, and the value only goes up the longer the Falcons wait. Am I wrong about that? How do we not get that? The money is gone. It's always been gone. And it helps a team with actually how cheap the actual money is in year two.
Well, and let me address this. The thing is, and you, I think you said this, but I think there's two different ways of looking at this. Something will happen to a quarterback in the NFL, right? And then all of a sudden the value starts to go up. And look, you know, we've seen reports that Kirk Cousins doesn't want to be moved till after the first round, doesn't want to get quote-unquote penixed again, and doesn't want to be moved till after tomorrow night. You know, he wouldn't sign off on a trade. The other half of that, though, dude, and I think the thing a lot of people are missing, the last couple of years, and let's just say three, you've had over 60 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Who's to say that that injury doesn't happen here? And I think that's the terrifying part for a lot of different people. You signed Easton Stick yesterday, or 2 days ago. He shows up at OTAs. You're going to have four quarterbacks on the roster for now. That's the way most teams go through it. Who's to say that that, you know, that game-changing issue doesn't pop up here? I don't even want to say it out loud, but doesn't pop up here. And then all of a sudden, you're kind of back to square one, and maybe thankful that you have a, you know, $45 million backup. It is what it is. Like, we're going to talk about this till we're blue in the face. It can happen. I don't think that week one, Kirk Cousins will be on the roster, but I don't think it's impossible either. I think everybody would be comfortable. I've highlighted the fact, I tweeted this back in early January. Kirk Cousins' family lives here. They relocated down to Atlanta. Her family lives here. I think he is very much a guy that would be, hey, look, if I got to be a backup for a little bit, I'll be a backup for a little bit. I think he wants to be a starter, but we're talking about a 37-year-old dude who has, what, two or three kids and lives here and is fine with that. So, obviously, we'll address that. And appreciate everybody tweeting in, because we have seen a number of comments online about Kirk Cousins and everything else going on. Appreciate you guys hitting us up at 929 Morning Shift. If you want to answer that question, is Kirk Cousins here in week one? And would you be comfortable with that? And do you think it's a good situation? Do need to talk about a bad situation, and that's the Atlanta Braves bullpen. And, Bo, obviously, you went with the opener yesterday. You went with Scott Blewett, who I thought that they probably left in a little bit too long. I don't blame Brian Snicker, though, for trying to stretch him for three innings. His longest outing of the season, his first outing with the Atlanta Braves. In the end, this was a bullpen game. Aaron Bummer looked fine. Montero looked bad. Dylan Lee gets a blown save, although he wasn't bad. De Los Santos looks bad. Wiles looks bad. The whole bullpen, for the most part, looked like crap last night, and the Braves come away with a 10-4 loss. The Cardinals snap a five-game losing streak. But I thought, and I said this leading into it, Bo, it was missed opportunities for me. There was numerous occasions where Ozzie Albies, who is supposed to be one of your better players, could have opened it up and scored a bunch of runs. And you just knew that it was going to be one of those games. When you're having a bullpen game, got to score runs when they're in scoring position. They were not able to do that last night, and it came back to bite them because it gets away from you in the end when things really get opened up.
So, first off, the only thing I thought that Snitker did wrong with Blewett was he let him go out there for the fourth. But it didn't hurt you because, it's funny, not a lot of bullpens or not a lot of teams can have a guy named Blewett on the mound and then follow it up with a guy named Bummer. But it worked out. I thought Blewett was great last night.
I thought his stuff was a lot better than I imagined it was going to be.
He's not a bad pitcher. He's just not a he's not a starter, and he's not a guy you really want going more than three innings. A couple innings, yeah, he gave up a two-run homer, but through five innings, the game is 2-2. Okay, and you end up taking the lead 4-2.
Yeah.
But then. The inability to throw strikes last night, the most frustrating thing for me all the way around for a pitch watching guys on the mound for my team is not throwing strikes. Nothing frustrates me more than walking guys. I don't know if it's because I was spoiled, rotten as a kid watching Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz throw, not walk guys. Maddox's walk numbers are ridiculous for a couple of those seasons. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm spoiled rotten. But nothing irritates me more than watching guys walk them. And that's what Montero had two. I think they had, they had five walks between Montero, Lee, and De Los Santos. And Lee was actually pretty good. Lee's one walk, But Ozzie Albies is something else. I think Ozzie Albies is dreadful right now. His own base percentage is barely 300. He's hitting 230. He made an error in the field the other night to me that was inexcusable. Look, it was a hard hit ball, but don't. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You dropped it. Get down and get that ball and throw him out. I just don't think Ozzie's playing very well. It frustrates me because Ozzie, I guess what frustrates me is I hear guys get hammered when they don't play well. Ozzie seemingly always goes under the radar when he doesn't play well. I don't get it, but I'm very frustrated with his play. Meanwhile, Austin Riley is on a tear, and he's not ripping the cover off the ball. He's not getting on base in traditional when Riley gets hot, he rips it off. I think he had three hits last night. I'm not sure if one of them left the infield.
They didn't. They didn't. And you know what's funny about that is I thought you were going to say that Sean Murphy is on a tear, which Sean Murphy is on an absolute tear. And I know that our buddy Grant McCauley tweeted this out last night. I think it was that Sean Murphy's got eight runs scored, and I think six of them are solo home runs.
Yeah, and he's tied for the team lead in 12 games. He has six home runs.
Yeah, and it's insane. And to the point where I responded to Grant last night. I was like, dude, at what point do we move this guy into the five hole? Like, and Ozzie Albies is just not – he's not doing it. Sean Murphy's a right-handed bat, can be slid into the fifth hole between the two lefties, and it seems like it would work out fine and maybe take some stuff off of Ozzie's back. But Snicker seemingly knows that Ozzie Albies is not coming through in the clutch right now, and it's frustrating to watch so many times, time and time again, with him in that five hole, and the guy's actually setting the table and him not being able to get it done.
The other guy I can't watch right now is Arcia. Arcia is in there for one reason right now. It's because he's the elite with his glove, and he's not been doing it in the field either.
No.
Now, I know that there was this whole stat that the Braves talked that CJ and Brandon Gaudin, CJ Nikowski and Brandon Gaudin, the Braves haven't committed a fielding error all season. And, of course, they did one. I think Riley had one Sunday, which killed it. But they're not getting the balls they normally get to. They haven't been overly sharp to me in the middle of the infield. If I'm going to have Arcia stinking and not being able to get the balls and his range not being what it used to be, I'll take Nick Allen, who can at least get on base once a game, whether it's a walk or whatever. But, yeah, you're right, Murphy's tearing the ball. I like Murphy where he's at because, to me, you give something lower in the lineup because the lineup is so top-heavy right now. Marcelo Ozuna was 0-for-1 last night. He had 4 walks. He leads the league in walks with 23. Leads Major League Baseball,
yeah.
Okay? And he had a quote last night, which Marcelo Ozuna says this. Talk about that. You know, we talk about a warm, gooey feeling inside when he goes, I'm just trying not to chase bad pitches outside the zone like I used to. Please,
yeah.
Marcel, you get on base. The problem is, and Matt Olson is heated up too. Matt Olson has snuck up now to where his on base percentage is right at 380. It's 378. That is great for Matt Olson.
Yeah, it definitely is. And look, the conversation about Sean Murphy moving to the five hole, that's something that'll be ongoing. But here's what I will say. With Michael Harris hitting behind Ozzie Albies, Michael Harris is in that same realm for me. Michael Harris is hitting sub 200. Michael Harris has slowly, in my opinion, offensively fallen behind whatever Jared Kelnick is right now. And Jared Kelnick, I don't know if you noticed him last night. He hits a double off the base of the wall. And when I tell you this man ran a sub 4.340 coming out of the box to get to second base on a stand-up double that hits off the wall, that man was scorching coming around the corner. He was not going to have any questions asked about what his effort was in a given situation. Michael Harris, to me, I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's so slow out the gate, but I would almost rather have Jared Kelnick up in situations other than Michael Harris. He seems to be having bat at bat after bat at bat.
Harris has had some good ones. It just it's hit or miss. Well, he'll have a 2 or 3-game stretch, and then he just goes and disappears, and it's really bad, you know?
Yeah. We got to talk more NFL draft when we come back, guys. It is NFL draft eve, and that's a lot of fun. A lot of news coming out of Tennessee yesterday. The Titans are all in. But on who? And we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Stick with us. The Morning Shift Sports Radio, 929 The Game. There is no better song from Rock Band, which was on, what was that, the PS2, PS3? I don't know. Used to rock this thing out, Guitar Hero.
I like Slow Ride, too. Slow Ride was a fun Guitar Hero song if you weren't very good at Guitar Hero like I was.
I was a drummer in Rock Band. The Guitar Hero was, like, secondary for us, man.
See, like, I wish I would have been in the Guitar Hero when I was a drummer, man, because, man, when I tell you I would have had the whole set, would have been going crazy.
I can't remember the name of the song. Bo, maybe it would help me. Coheed and Cambria, I used to sing on Rock Band, dude. So good. I used to jam out on the drums, Coheed and Cambria on Rock Band. Me and my both my college roommates, which one of them was our buddy Domer, who I races with us. He used to be on the vocals and doing the bass guitar. Another buddy, you know what I'm saying? We used to look like the biggest set of meatheads in there. Anyways.
Domer would be a good front man. He's got the hair for it.
Yeah.
This, by the way, this is
Ding.
This is Boston, and this is their off their first album. This is More Than a Feeling, the best out their first album, the self-titled, phenomenal. I mean, there is not a bad song on the album, and it's, you know, obviously from like the 70s. So
I'm just picturing Bo with like long hair and a goatee. You know what I mean? And
never. No, I can't do long hair.
Wow.
I can't pull off long hair. My hair's too
wiry.
Yeah.
Thin.
It's not it's thick, but it's thin. You know what I mean? Like it's a lot of thin hair. It just looks I don't know, it looks like I should be an extra on like King of the Hill or something, you know?
It looks like you have a mullet, is what you're saying. Like it's too
flat on top. I did a mullet one time.
Yeah,
I did a bet. grew my hair out.
In other news, water's wet.
Then I shaved it into a mullet, or cut it into a mullet. It was pretty cool. I had it for like one night.
I want to get into this draft talk. You and I, funny enough, off there, we're talking about aliens because we had aliens come up at 6 o'clock today. Do you believe in aliens?
No.
You don't believe?
No, absolutely not.
Like, you're like, there's no aliens out
no,
there. In the whole
no
universe, billions of planets, you don't think there's
aliens?
I mean,
do I believe that there – no, I don't believe that there's some little – I don't believe anything of the sort. I mean, my thought of aliens is Independence Day, Predator, and then the movie Alien
or
Mars
you're
Attacks.
Roswell, New Mexico. Like,
or
that's
Mars
your,
Attacks,
that's your
yeah.
thought of aliens.
I just don't believe – I don't – no, I mean, it's – dude, all these years, the Earth has been around. Did you see – there's this story that came out a few weeks ago that under one of the pyramids, they found like a city and that the only way it could be built was by like aliens that came here and had giants and everything. And I'm like, well, I mean, there are, you know, like if you read, and I'm not going religious or anything, but if you read the Bible, you know, there was, you know, David and Goliath, like there were giants back then. So, he's telling me that was that alien? Like there's
Could
so
be.
Much ridiculousness when it comes to aliens, and people just, they just believe, and you're like, well, why do you believe? Well, it just has to be. And that's how I came to the Cousins thing. It's like people with aliens. He just can't. It can't be. Well, why? Because it can't.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, there's no reason behind it can't other than you saying it can't or it can.
Yeah.
So it just
I do believe in aliens. I do believe in aliens.
I figured as much.
I don't think they look like. I don't think they're little green men that, you know, have human type bodies with big heads though.
Like, what do they look like?
I think they're like a virus. I think they look like a virus. Or a bacteria.
So it's a parasite.
Yeah, like a single cell organism.
Oh, like a tapeworm.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of life form on the billions of other planets out there.
Well, if there were,
yeah.
Well, that gets to this. Do you believe we actually landed on the moon? And the older I get, the less I believe.
I will say this. With the technology at hand back in the 60s, it is hard to believe.
It's like, hard to believe that we filmed it the way we filmed it, and yet suddenly we just haven't been back in all these years. And look, here's the thing for me.
Uh-oh.
And I know that
here
people
–
oh, your conspiracy
the
theory is
it,
showing.
It is. Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. It was a race. All right, we've heard, again, not going political, we heard about the AI race now between the United States and China, right?
Sure.
Well, there was a race between Russia, what is it, Sputnik or whatever they called it?
Yeah, Sputnik.
And America to get to the moon. And we just happened to get there years before Russia and plant our flag, and then that was kind of the end of it. And then we're on to the next thing.
We were like, all right, tag out. We're good.
Yeah,
we're
so – I don't know, man. It's just the older I get and the more conspiracies are seemingly coming true, it's harder for me to believe that we landed on the moon. I want to believe. America, man.
Oh, man.
Blank, yeah.
All right, we've
but
got
it's
to
hard
move
to
on.
Believe we landed on the moon.
We've got to move on. I do believe there's aliens. I just don't think they have arms and legs.
I don't believe in aliens either. I don't know. I mean, have we even been out of the atmosphere? Who knows?
Yeah. All right.
Armageddon was a fun movie, though.
Speaking of conspiracies, though, we got to talk about the Tennessee Titans and what they're going to do with the number one overall pick. They had a presser yesterday. There was a lot of stuff that came out of this, but the one cut I want you to hear is how, look, I think they're all on the same page.
You know, we've come to a consensus. The entire organization is to stay at that pick, and I guess you'll find out Thursday night who we pick.
Yeah, I think you're going to find out. And what's funny about this is – there's no, like, mention of trading back or anything like that. And he also, and this is Mike Borgonzi, who is the Titans general manager. He also talked about Will Levis and this whole thing. We'll get to that in just a second. But any chance in your mind that this is not Cam Ward? Because to me, and he tried, the Will Levis stuff fits into this. I think this is Cam Ward, front, back, center, all over the place. And I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I think the latest Vegas odds were like minus 20,000. This is Cam Ward. The fact that your consensus right now leads me to believe that Cam Ward's going to Tennessee.
Well, living in Atlanta the last 4 years and having consensus on draft picks, I'd say, I mean, I just thought. Yeah, I do, though, think when you think about it, there could be a chance because Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter could be generational players.
No, dude, here
and
we go.
Travis Hunter, really, it could be it. And that's a guy that could make your team better in so many ways. You know, the red zone, both on both sides of the ball. Defensively, a shutdown guy at cornerback. Makes your front seven makes them a little bit better if you got a shutdown guy on one side. So if they have fallen in love with one of those guys, and then they look at the draft quarterback class and say, are we forcing the draft pick with a guy that we will give up on in a couple years and we'll all be fired for picking him in Cam Ward? Now, I don't know if I believe that Cam Ward's the guy that's going to get you fired. To me, he's not Anthony Richardson, who I told you would get people fired. Times find out they might be firing Anthony Richardson before Anthony Richardson can get the team to fire them.
Like, joke's on you, buddy.
But I don't think that that's what Cam Ward is. But, dude, I do believe that there's a really good chance that they take one of these top defensive players. And now, we might be sitting here Friday morning and they went chalk. I don't know. But, yeah, there's always a chance, especially with how good Travis Hunter is. Look, I didn't get a chance to talk about this, and I'm not going to talk about it now other than this statement. Two players had their numbers retired last weekend in Boulder, Colorado, and one of them was absolutely deserving in how great Travis Hunter was in his 2 years there.
Yeah.
And I do believe that Travis Hunter is worthy of the number one overall pick, and there should be debate between him and Cam Ward, if you ask me, because Cam Ward might be the fourth or fifth best quarterback in last year's draft class.
Yeah. I do want to get to this Mike Borgonzi quote on Will Levis, because I think there is a lot that Falcons fans should be paying attention to here. But before I get to that, reminder that the NFL draft is coming, and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of the most complete draft coverage in Atlanta. Join us starting Thursday at 7 p.m. as Mike Conte, Wes Durham, and Dave Archer, and Bo Morgan take you through the first round of the draft live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and stay with us all weekend long for pick-by-pick coverage and late-night wrap-up shows. It's all brought to you by your local Honda dealers and by Window Nation. Buy four windows and get four free. The NFL draft starting Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bo and I will also be hanging out with you guys on Saturday, special Saturday edition of the morning shift. We'll call it the mid-afternoon shift. You know what I mean? We'll just do something like that.
Just don't call it the mid-shift.
Yeah. Won't call it the midship. All right, I want to get this Mike Borgonzi quote, and I got it in front of me. It was reported by a number of people. He's asked, so they come to a consensus number one, right? And I think like you and I are thinking, most everybody's thinking the same way. This has got to be Cam Ward. Well, he's kind of asked what's the future for Will Levis. Here's what he had to say. Will is a quarterback in our room, and he's still developing. He's a young quarterback. He's had some good moments, and like any other young quarterback, they're continuing to develop. What, Bo, is the future? I look at this quote and I go, all right, they're going to keep him as a backup. I don't know that he's going to like that. I don't know that situation is less likely to work to me than Kirk Cousins being a backup to Michael Penix. Will Levis being a backup for a team that he was handed the keys to just a couple of years ago is less likely to work than what's going on here in Atlanta. But the question then comes, what's the future for Will Levis? Is this something where the New Orleans Saints enter the picture? Is he a backup somewhere else? What do you think happens if and when Cam Ward is drafted tomorrow night to the Tennessee Titans?
Oh, what if this is maybe, what if all this is a facade and they're just like saying all of this to see if they could get, and what I mean by that is the part where, well, we know we're going to pick at one and we know we're there. We're pretty much set in stone. We're going to be there. I mean, what will you offer me for the spot? You know, what will you trade up for to get a Cam Ward? The Will Levis thing is weird to me. Do you want Will Levis being your quarterback room to be Cam Ward and Will Levis? And we always talk, and I've always been a big proponent of, I don't bring in players to be coaches. That's why I have coaches. But there is something to be said about in the quarterback room, and really just the quarterback room is the biggest one for me, is when you get done with a meeting and you're like, hey, what do you think? I'm not getting this. You know, we keep saying this, but what is it when you see this? And there's a guy that's seen it before. Or, hey, just in it, and we made fun of Easton Stick, but what if Easton Stick is a guy that can say, yeah, well, I know when me and Justin were together, or I know when I was with so-and-so, named the quarterback, you know, the experienced quarterback I was with in the room, with Philip Rivers, we talked, you know, he said this, right? And there's always something you can learn from having an experienced guy. I don't like having two young guys like that in a quarterback room.
Yeah, I don't I don't either. And I think there is a, you know, review by committee approach that you have to have when it comes to a quarterback room. But it's like I said yesterday, the whole thing where you're going to bring, you know, possibly bring in a veteran quarterback. And I talked about, you know, Quinn Ewers a couple days ago. I don't think the Falcons are going to draft a quarterback. Don't get me wrong. Don't get that twisted up. I'm not sitting here and saying the Falcons should draft a quarterback. But my only point was, if you can add a pick and you can get a mid-rounder, there might be a guy that you've heard their name before, like a Quinn Ewers in the middle rounds. And you do wonder if there is a trade made. Let's just call it Friday afternoon after the first round. You wonder if Kirk Cousins is on his way out. Are you sticking with Easton Stick as your backup? You know, that'll be something that this team has to kind of mull over. My only point in saying that was, you've got T.J. Yates in that room. You've got Zach Robinson in that room, right? Those guys have been quarterbacks. They are sub-40-year-old quarterbacks that just don't play in the NFL anymore. Instead, they coach. So I don't know. I'm with you. The question then becomes, though, Bo, is like, who else is available? And I don't know the answer to that. Most of the good backups have already been, you know, kind of soaked up around the NFL. You talk about guys like Mac Jones, who signed on in San Fran, or Jameis Winston, who's in New York, or whoever else it may be. Mason Rudolph or Cooper Rush, a lot of those top veteran backups are already somewhere else. So I don't know where that would leave. I don't know where that would leave the Falcons, and I definitely don't know where it would leave the Titans if they were to move on from what would currently be their backup quarterbacks.
But remember, you never know. You know, the training camp happens, and the backup, you know, we saw Taylor Heinicke be traded last year, after camp or during camp. So there's just so much, and I don't want to go trade for a guy. I want to, you know, we need draft picks next year just as much as we need them this year. But, and you don't know what you'll have next year. But you don't know. We just don't know how it'll play out, who could come available. There are some teams that have maybe too many backup quarterbacks. I mean, are all these teams going to keep three, you know, what if the Giants go and grab a guy in the draft to develop? Are they going to keep Jameis, Russell, and a rookie that they took in the second round?
Yeah.
Are they going to keep three quarterbacks? I think there's a lot out there that could happen. But I do, even though I mentioned Easton Stick as a guy, I'm not necessarily sure he's the guy I want, so to speak.
Be interesting to see that saga continue. We will talk in the huddle coming up in, I don't know, 25 minutes about the possibility of four or more quarterbacks going in the first round. We also got to talk about possible trade calls going on with the Browns and Giants. You'll want to stick with us. Up on the other side, we're going to talk more Falcons draft. Bo brought a scenario to me that made my ears perk up. We're going to talk about best possible scenarios for Atlanta tomorrow night. Might not happen, but if they do, I'll be wanting to run through a door. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Mike and Squidbilly, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.